WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Second hour of the program here on Wednesday morning. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Scott Pemberton and Don Mahler of the 50s Night Committee and the Joe Jesus 50s Night Committee. And they're going to join us to talk about what we can expect on 50s Night coming up on July 17th, the third Thursday in July. That's when Joe always wanted to have it, and that's when it's going to be happening this year. So we'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. Until then, it's you and I, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Got an app chat question from Polly, who said, what happened to Brian's show during the week? Brian's on vacation. So I don't know if he told everybody why he was going on vacation. So I don't want to speak out of school, but it's for a good reason. But he had to travel to California, and he will be back on the 23rd. So this Saturday and next Saturday, we will have Best of Howie, where Freedom Fools usually airs on Saturdays, and we are running the first hour of the Howie Carr Show on weeknights. So Howie, at the beginning of this year, had changed his hours. So instead of airing from 3 to 7, he started airing from 2 to 6. And so what was happening then is you were getting, you know, the first hour of Howie on tape delay, played after the show was over. And then when Brian started his show, you know, we did away with that. So now, just while Brian's on vacation, we're just going to run that first hour of Howie. So that's why it might sound a little disjointed if you tune in at 5 and you hear Howie saying, you know, we'll be back tomorrow, and then there's another hour that comes after that, that you're like, wait a minute, I didn't hear this already. So it's Howie decided to make his hours a little bit more aligned with his schedule, since he spends a good portion of the year now in Florida, most of the year now in Florida. So it makes more sense for him to start the show a little bit earlier. But that also means, you know, we don't want to cut Barry for an hour, so we just air the final 3 hours of the program, except for while Brian's on vacation. So hopefully that cleared it up and I didn't make it more confusing. But anyway, the bottom line is Brian will be back on the 23rd. 508-996-0500. So this story yesterday has a lot of people concerned and a lot of kind of online conversation about store dressing rooms. So if you missed the story yesterday, or if you missed it in the news that Mike just had, we've got details at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. But a man who has been previously arrested for filming what they call upskirt photos and videos of women was arrested for allegedly filming a woman while she was in the changing room of the Wareham Target. Now, this guy is a level 2 sex offender. His name is Gregory Matos of Mashpee. But I want to point out that in some of his previous arrests, he had a New Bedford address listed. So he's probably, you know, someone who is in this area probably more than he is on the Cape. In fact, there's been a lot of comments of people who said that they've seen him around the Wareham Crossing Plaza in the past. It was in the, I think, Channel 5 story that in the court discussion, they talked about how the store employees at the Wareham Target know him because he's a very frequent customer of the store. Now, obviously, you know, they don't necessarily know his criminal background when he's coming into the store. They don't necessarily know that he's a level 2 sex offender. to follow him around and keep an eye on him and make sure he's not filming people in the dressing room. But they said, you know, he is a frequent customer. So allegedly, he was in there yesterday, on June 9th. So on Monday, he was allegedly in there Monday filming a woman while she was trying on bathing suits in the dressing room. And through store surveillance video, they were able to figure out that he'd left the parking lot on a moped. Police were able to track him down and take him into custody. But this is a guy who in 2016 was arrested for filming, like I said, what they call upskirt videos and photos. Which I don't know how they do that. You know, it's one thing, like I've had to write stories about this in the past where it was people who would follow women onto escalators. I don't know how you do it in a shopping plaza that doesn't have escalators, but he was already a level 2 sex offender when he got arrested for that in 2016. So, and I couldn't find anything further about what might have got him on the registry to begin with. Also, the registry is not very good in Massachusetts. If you type somebody's name in, this guy is a known level 2 sex offender. But I typed his name into the database and nothing came up. But anyway, he was arrested again in 2019 for failing to register as a sex offender. And then I saw some people say, you know, why is it up to the person to register? Why isn't it something that the state does? Well, they do. That's why they knew that he had failed to register. Failing to register means you're not doing these required check-ins, is basically what it is. And as someone who has moved around, he was in New Bedford one time, now he's in Mashpee, you know, you're supposed to alert the authorities when that happens, when you're moving. You have the right to move, but you're supposed to alert the authorities when that happens. And that's usually when you trigger a failure to register, is because you either didn't do these required periodic check-ins or you moved and didn't alert them to it. So it wasn't that the state didn't know that he was a sex offender. They were depending on him to tell them. They knew. His failure to register means he didn't show up when he moved to, I'm assuming in this case, because he was in New Bedford when he was arrested, you know, moved from, I guess, Wareham to New Bedford, didn't tell New Bedford that he had registered. That he was a registered sex offender, rather. So, and that photo that we used in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app is from his 2019 arrest, because I requested a booking photo from Wareham police on this latest charge and they didn't provide one. They didn't respond to my request. Even to say, sorry, we're not releasing a booking photo. And that's why I went to the registry thinking I would find the sex offender registry, thinking I would find a current photo there, and I couldn't find any details for him. But this has also led to a bigger question of, because we've had incidents now where apparently this happened in another Target store recently on the South Coast. I didn't report on that, so I can't really speak on details, and I don't have any information from the police on that. But we put this story out yesterday morning, and last night, maybe like around 7:30 last night, I got an email from Target. And it actually came from a PR firm that handles crisis situations, you know, and by crisis doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, a huge disaster or a major thing, but they just handle negative publicity. That's what these crisis publicists handle. They specialize in negative publicity. And so they sent me this statement to add into the story. So I'm just going to read it just in case you read the story yesterday and didn't hear this, see this that was added in later. The safety of our guests and team members is our top priority, and we have robust procedures, policies, and training in place to ensure that our stores are safe places to shop and work. We have zero tolerance for this type of behavior, and as soon as we became aware of the situation, our team contacted the Wareham Police Department. We are assisting them with their investigation and will refer additional questions to them at this time. And they did. The store provided their security footage to the department. I think it was loss prevention that actually contacted the police. So they were definitely working with the police on this. And I don't think anybody's questioning the role that Target played in this. I think people understand that, you know, weirdos do weirdo things, and it's not the store's fault that it happened. But there is a conversation that is happening, and I think that's part of the reason why they have this, you know, crisis management person putting out statements, because people are questioning, should they even have dressing rooms in stores like this if they're not going to be staffed 100% of the time? And I don't know how it works in that particular store. I haven't used a dressing room in Target. But in a lot of stores, what they do is someone comes over, opens the door, lets you in, and then walks away and goes back to what they were doing somewhere else. They're not standing there to keep an eye on you, which in the past they would, just to make sure you're not putting those clothes on under your own clothes and leaving with them. But now they've got too much to do and too little people in the store. So are they handling that correctly? Or should that person be required to stay there the entire time someone is in a dressing room to make sure that somebody else isn't going up and climbing over the wall and filming them? 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Tim, it's Aaron. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Hey, I'm up early driving up to Boston. Hey, just to go back to this guy's taking upskirt photos in the Wareham police. Booking photos are public record. I don't understand how these police departments' in-house policies override public record laws. I don't understand how they can do that.
So it's something that we've been going back and forth with, especially with Mayor Mitchell in recent years, where, you know, we say the same thing you're saying. It's public record. We should be able to get them if we request them. And then what we were told was, because there was a lawsuit against the Boston Globe, and because so often these people who are arrested are not convicted, they've been able to then go back and sue the departments or the municipalities, because if they're not convicted, you basically sullied their reputation by putting this out there, and now their photo is out there. So someone won a lawsuit like that against the Boston Globe, and so that has made municipalities wary about releasing these photos.
But also, I mean, you could use that same argument for, you know, newspapers that publish police logs or arrest logs. I mean, yeah, it's not a booking photo, but it's still the person's name and a documentation that they've been arrested. I mean, I don't know if the Standard Times still does that, but the Fall River Herald at one point used to publish the police logs in the arrest logs. So, I mean, it really isn't. I mean, a photo is a little more damning, I guess, but it's still not really any different.
And in the news media, there's a lot of discussions we have about something that's called compassionate coverage, where we've kind of changed the way that we handle covering the news, because we realize that, unlike before when people threw away a newspaper, or, you know, you heard a report on the radio and that was it, now with podcasts and digital media, these things stick around forever, and it's negatively impacting people's lives. So if somebody gets arrested because they broke into a store when they were 17 and stole food because they needed, you know, they didn't have money to buy food, and then, you know, 35 years later they're trying to get a job and that comes up in a Google search, is that really fair? They paid their debt to society, they moved on with their lives. And so, you know, we've kind of had to change the way that we handle things, but, you know, trust the news media to know when to use that and when not to. The problem is you get too many online journalists and people that are just looking for clicks, that are going to go for the sensational. So somebody gets arrested for drug possession when obviously they're in the throes of addiction, and they have a photo where they look terrible, and that gets plastered all over the internet just for people to laugh at and make comments about. I mean, is that really where we want to be?
No, I totally get that. But at the same time, it's like, well, then change the state law. It still, for me, it still comes down to a matter of your in-house policy is overriding state law, which, you know, I don't think is right. So if that's really that much of an issue, the state should change the law as far as that goes. But anyway, that was the reason I was calling. I just wonder how these departments are getting around. The classic example was a few years back that Dartmouth police officer got in trouble for sexual assault on a minor.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the Dartmouth Police Department, who loves posting booking photos on their Facebook page, suddenly there was no booking photo to be found when one of their own was the one getting arrested. But you know, it's just the booking photo thing. It's either you got to give them out or change the law, as far as I'm concerned. But that's just my opinion on it. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, you have a great day.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, later.
Likewise. And that's a problem that I've had with a lot of things. So we would get press releases from the New Bedford Police Department, and this was at a time when the department was kind of going up against some of the judges, and they were constantly putting out these press releases about how, you know, this was under Chief Cordero, how they were doing all this great work of making these arrests, and then the judges were letting these guys back out on the street, and, you know, and they would send us these press releases talking about what a danger this person is to the community, and that people should be aware that they're out there, but yet they wouldn't provide us a photo. Like, you want me to tell people to be aware of this person and to avoid this person, and that this person is dangerous, but you can't provide a photo of this person. And you obviously feel like what the judges did in letting them go was wrong, in not holding them. You feel that that's wrong. So you know, you feel like they are an actual criminal. Like, why can't we get that booking photo? So I understand completely. And again, trust us to know when to use it and when not to. You know, if somebody is committing a dangerous crime, their face should be out there. If they're found not guilty, then what we can do is they can tell us, we were found not guilty, take my picture down. You know, and I used to have a general rule of, if you can provide me the documentation to say that you were found, that you were let go, that you were acquitted, provide me that documentation, I'll take the story down. But I don't delete the story. I just unpublish it, and it gets published again if your name comes up again, if you get arrested again. And even then, you know, most of the people that sent me emails saying all that, they never provided me any of that paperwork. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But Aaron has a great point there. You know, if this is a person that is obviously a danger, is a level 2 sex offender, why can't we get the photo? And why can't I find him on the registry, on the database? Anyway, I got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
California's governor upset with President Trump, a lawsuit against DNA company 23andMe, and a warning about a rare appendix cancer.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
California Governor Gavin Newsom criticizing President Trump's response to protests in the L.A. area. Last night, Newsom said Trump escalated the situation by sending National Guard troops and U.S. Marines to deal with anti-ICE demonstrations. He went on to denounce the immigration raids that led to the protests last week. Newsom called for demonstrators to remain peaceful and promised that anyone arrested during violent protests will be prosecuted. Over 200 people have been arrested so far in the Los Angeles area. ABC News is firing senior national correspondent Terry Moran following a social media post criticizing President Trump and his top aide, Stephen Miller.
That's according to CNN. Moran called Trump and Miller world-class haters in the since-deleted post, saying Miller is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred, while Trump's hatred is only a means to an end, and that end is his own glorification. ABC first suspended Moran before his firing. I'm Brian Shook.
President Trump was at North Carolina's Fort Bragg yesterday to help kick off the Army's 250th birthday celebration. Trump told hundreds of gathered troops that Saturday is going to be a big day in Washington, D.C. Saturday's parade to honor the Army's 250th birthday is expected to draw hundreds of thousands of attendees. The president praised the troops, calling them the greatest fighting force. The streaming competition is getting a little bit smaller. Disney is taking full control of Hulu.
The media giant has agreed to pay Comcast more than $438 million to buy its stake in the streaming service. Back in 2023, Disney paid Comcast $8.6 billion when it announced it intended to buy Comcast's 33% stake. Disney CEO Bob Iger said the deal clears the way for a deeper and more seamless integration of Disney Plus and Hulu content. The deal is expected to close by July 24th. I'm Matt Mattinson.
Former First Lady Barbara Bush now has her own postage stamp. The Forever Stamp was officially dedicated yesterday at ceremonies in Kennebunkport, Maine. Barbara Bush, of course, married to President George H.W. Bush and the mother of President George W. Bush. Nearly 30 states are suing 23andMe, the DNA genealogy company, filed for bankruptcy. The lawsuit seeks to stop the company from auctioning off the private genetic data of around 15 million customers. The lawsuit argues DNA data, health-related traits, and medical records are too sensitive to be sold without each person's consent. Customers of 23andMe can also take steps to have their genetic information that's stored by the company deleted. Health professionals are warning Americans that they are seeing an increase of a rare cancer among younger-than-expected patients.
Researchers say they're noticing an uptick of cancers of the appendix in patients in both millennials and Gen Xers. Among millennials, cases reported have quadrupled, and for Gen Xers, cases reported have tripled. According to an analysis published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, data compared from 1975 to 2019 in the U.S. While this type of cancer is still considered to be rare, it's normally detected in patients over the age of 50. I'm Katie Gray.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Rays at Fenway last night 3-1. Those two back at it tonight at 7:10. And Marco Sturm was formally announced as the Bruins head coach yesterday in front of the press.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Temperatures starting out on either side of 60 degrees. Widespread sunshine as we head through the morning and into the afternoon. Not only that, but if you've been waiting for more summer-like weather, well, here you go. Temperatures right along the coast, going to be in the mid-70s, but as you head inland, expect the upper 70s and low 80s. It's still a little muggy today, but that will resolve itself as we move through tonight and into tomorrow. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
And now we are going to be going into the Gen X files for today in just a moment. But before we do that, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, just trying to clarify a news article this morning that was posted with Phil Devins about the military bases being renamed honoring the Confederate generals. Just want to kind of revisit that because that's not the case. Those were renamed, although the name remains the same. The man is different.
So that
was reported on Task and Purpose last night.
That was something that was in the news we just had because I stepped out of the studio.
Yeah, Phil Devins reported that the administration was revisiting Confederate general or reversing the names of the military installations. Although the names are reversed to what the legacy were, the man is different. So, for example, Fort Rucker, Alabama, is not after General Rucker, the Confederate soldier there. It's now renamed Captain Ed Rucker from World War I. So he got a Distinguished Service Class over France.
Isn't that a little bit of a shell game there?
Perhaps, but I feel that in the industry it adds a lot of confusion because of all these bases renamed, soldiers are also having to relearn where to do these trainings or, you know, essentially where to relocate. And it just adds to the complexity of logistic nightmare. I mean, it's opinion based, but I just wanted to clarify that.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good day. And we can get more into that if you want. 508-996-0500. But right now it is time for what is quickly becoming many people's favorite part of the program each morning. Certainly one of my favorites, because not only do we get to talk about ice cream, but we get to talk about pop culture. So I think it's time. Let's get into it.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. First, let's say happy birthday to four-time Super Bowl champ Joe Montana. Joe Cool turns 69 today. Hugh Laurie, who played House on the Fox TV show of the same name, is 66. He drinks and he knows things. Peter Dinklage, the actor best known as Tyrion Lannister on Game of Thrones, is 56 today. On this date in 1933, Jerome Silberman was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He would later go on to box office success as Willy Wonka, Victor Frankenstein, and a host of other characters. You probably know him better by his stage name, Gene Wilder.
Bueller. 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 Bueller.
He's sick. My best friend's sister's boyfriend's brother's girlfriend heard from this guy who knows this kid is going with the girl who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night.
In 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off hit theaters. When Matthew Broderick leads a parade through downtown Chicago to the Beatles' Twist and Shout, it renewed interest in the group, and the song soon returned to the charts. On this date in 1993, Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Sam Neill and Jeff Goldblum, opened up, and it set a box office weekend record of $502 million. And in 2002, American Idol, created by Simon Fuller with judges Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, and Randy Jackson, premiered on Fox. Of course, Kelly Clarkson won the first season. And by won, I mean lost, because then she had to star in from Justin to Kelly. In 2019, the New York Times revealed an estimated 500,000 song titles, including masters of Chuck Berry, Louis Armstrong, and Ella Fitzgerald, were lost in a 2008 warehouse fire on the Universal backlot in Los Angeles. That's the Gen X Files for June 11th, 2025. Brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Back Porch Sampler, and where they can whip you up a nice old-timey black cow. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app.
He fills it only halfway, and before I even argue, he is looking out the window at somebody coming in.
And welcome back. And hey, what are you going to do for Father's Day this weekend? Are you going to take Dad out for some brunch? You're going to take Dad out for a special meal? Well, celebrate Father's Day with the Brax family this year, because at Brax Grill and Tappan, Taunton and Brockton and Brax Tavern in Middleborough, they're going to be celebrating Father's Day in style. And at Brax Tavern, they're going to have a little present for Dad, as well as amazing specials for everyone. So just taking a look at some of the items they're going to have on their Father's Day menu. They're going to have a scallop and bacon appetizer. They're going to have prime rib. They're going to have surf and turf kebabs. ribs, tuna steak, and a lot more. So if you want to make your reservation today, you can contact Brack's Tavern in Middleborough, or you can use Open Table and make sure you get in there on Father's Day, or make a reservation for any of the Brack's locations. Again, Brack's Tavern in Middleborough and Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton. You can find out more about them all at BracksGrillAndTap.com, and make sure that you follow all three on Facebook so you can always see the great specials and events that they have happening at each location. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in here, or you can send in app chat messages or open line voicemails. DSY sent in a message. I don't know if you've brought this up, but $45 million for parade for an idiot, where that money could be used in millions of other places. Yeah, I mean, that is, I think, a fair question that even people who are supporters of President Trump are asking, like, do we need to have this parade? Is this necessary? Is it necessary to spend $30 to $45 million on this? Doge, if you're looking for waste, fraud, and abuse, I just found $45 million worth of it. I just don't think that that's a necessary thing. It's, you know, it's one thing if you have, you know, military equipment taking part in other existing parades, but a military parade, that seems like something that, dictators do. If we were celebrating the end of a war and the returning soldiers, you know, that would be one thing. But just because it's, I guess, Flag Day, but really because it's Donald Trump's birthday, we're going to have a military parade? Just seems kind of silly. But don't worry, the countdown is down to 1,319 days left of the Trump presidency. And if you need an equivalency to know what that's like, just keep in mind, Roman Reigns was WWE champion for 1,316 days. So we're almost just about a Roman Reigns title reign away from it being over. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Oh, this, I hate this idea of this parade. I really, really do. When I think of these military parades, I think of China, Russia, North Korea. And the one man in the United States that actually deserved a military parade would have been Eisenhower. And he said that he didn't want them. For those same reasons, this is the kind of thing that dictatorships do, not democracies.
I would agree. And also, like mentioned there, it's a colossal waste of money to appease one person's ego. I've heard people say, well, there's going to be all kinds of tourism for people that are coming into Washington, D.C. to see it. I don't think so. I don't think there's a bunch of people who are like, we got to get to D.C. for the military parade. People will watch it on television.
Well, I mean, a lot of the maggots will show up. No matter what he does, if Trump says, oh, you got to come, they'll be there.
Well,
the real diehards.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just feel, you know, like you were saying, it's a bad look, and I don't think it accomplishes anything, so it's just kind of a pointless waste of money in that regard. It's just appeasing the ego of one person.
Yeah, and the, well, it's the anniversary of the Army. That's a bunch of baloney. Yeah, it is, but it just happens to coincide with his birthday. He wanted to do this in his first term and get shot down.
I mean, I like to play with tanks and trucks on my birthday, too, but then I turn 6.
Yeah. I like playing with tanks and trucks, too, but I did it in the military.
There you go. Well, thank you for your service. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. You have a good day.
All right. You too.
Caller, hang on. We'll try to get you in, but I got to get this break in. We'll be right back. All right. Let's sneak in a call here before the end of the hour. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Joey Sassiola.
How you doing?
Good. You know, you brought up about Trump's how many days and everything, and I told you that I was going to call in and mention about Brian Gomes. We're still waiting for him to come and tell his wife he got fired illegally and everything. So How long has that been since he made that big statement on your program?
I do not have a daily. I don't have a daily count on that. I can't ask ChatGPT that like I can about the inauguration.
No, I understand that, but you know, we're still waiting for Mr. Gomes to come and clear his name. He threw everybody under the bus, like Barry Richards and everybody. So get him on here, running around like he's the god of the city council. Thank you.
All right, have a good day. And we are going to be going into the news in just a moment. I see Scott Pemberton making his way in. Oh, and he's got a box of something. See, Scott knows. he listens to the Chris McCarthy show. He knows. But we're going to be talking about 50s night. Scott's going to be here in studio. We're going to have Scott Pemberton will be here in studio. We're going to have Don Mahler on the phone. And we're going to be talking about what you can expect from this year's edition of Joe Jesus' 50s night happening on Thursday, July 17th in downtown New Bedford. And it's going to be a great night, both in person down there and here on the radio, because we're going to have 50s music for you all night long. We're going to have from 3 to midnight, we're going to have all 50s songs, nothing that was released in the 40s or the 60s. It's from January 1st, 1950 to December 31st, 1959. And we're going to have that backseat music from 10 to midnight. So for mom and dad to kind of, you know, unwind and sit on the couch, maybe. That backseat music, that romantic stuff, we're going to have that for you from 10 to midnight. So, and it should be a great time all around. That's why I love being able to do this on the radio, because we can take 50s night and take the hours that it happens downtown and expand it to an entire all day thing.